Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Wavy Podcast. I am your host, Gemma Mastriani, as well as the owner and editor of thesoundtrack.ca. I'm so sorry for the 2-week delay. I just needed a sec because I was working on something very special with my guest that I have here today, Michelle Treacy. How are you?
Good. You sound so professional. I love it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different vibe than we are used to.
I like it.
Michelle is a singer and songwriter, and basically I met her, 3 or 4 years ago now. I was, I forget what the event was. I was at some sort of music.
It was Canadian Radio Music Awards.
Right. Yeah.
It was random.
Yeah. So I met her randomly there, did a little interview, and then I added her on Facebook because that's what I would do. I would interview people, then try to find them on Facebook and keep the connection. Mm-hmm. And then, we kind of ended up working together, particularly her latest release, Time Off from the Letdown. But before we jump into that, I would love if you can give a bit of an introduction about yourself to the listeners.
I feel like you nailed it.
Oh, thanks.
I'm Michelle. I do a lot of music stuff. Gemma is awesome. And we did this cool song together. Really, you said it all, so I don't really know what to say. Okay, long story short. When I was 17, I sang with Lady Gaga. It got me started into this big old music career. I got signed at 17, probably 2 months or a month after I sang with Gaga. And I had a song out called Armageddon, and it was on the Billboard Hot 100 chart for 16 weeks, which is pretty cool. I did a bunch of music like that, pop music. I went on to win the TV show The Launch, and ended up working with Nile Rodgers and Bebe Rexha. Had a song come out from that called Emotional, and now here we are. And we just put out a song called Time Off from a Letdown. And it is different for me. It's rock, not something I'm used to putting out. And it's fun. It's the pandemic. There are no rules anymore.
Absolutely. Just a few accomplishments there. No big deal at all. but I am wondering, so you say that a couple months after you sang with Gaga, that's when you got signed. Mm-hmm. When you were, before you sang with Gaga, were you already looking to get signed, or was this something that just kind of took off suddenly and unexpectedly?
Well, obviously, when you're younger, you're like, I want to get signed, I want to get signed, I want to get signed. Very excited. I literally graduated high school, I think in June, June 27th or something like that. And then a couple days later, I think it was July 2nd or July 3rd, I sang with Gaga. Before that, I had been writing music and, hoping to one day get signed. And after the Gaga thing, obviously people heard about that, and it grabbed the attention of some of the labels in Canada, and I got to audition for them all. And then Sony was the one who was like, hell yeah, we love this. Let's do it. So that's how that all happened.
That's so fast.
Yeah, it was fast.
I feel like
things happen really fast when they happen.
Yeah. I just feel like I don't know if I could mentally process that.
There's a lot of things that have happened. Even the Gaga thing, it happened really fast too. Everything happens really fast when it gets started. It takes long to get started. And then when it happens, it friggin' happens.
Yeah. Wow. Props to you. So moving into the single. So basically today, I probably should have said this before, but whatever. We are going to be discussing sort of the process of releasing an indie track. So for Michelle, this is the first track she's actually released independently, which is cool. And I was really honored to be able to be on the team to be able for that. It was a learning experience for both of us. So through that, I just think it would be really helpful for listeners to learn about that experience, and I know many of listeners here are musicians, so would love to explain that process. Okay, so I want to begin with kind of this song idea and inception. Where did this come from, And yeah, how did it come to be?
This was a song that my friend Rick, his artist name is Brutus Begins. You should look him up. He's really cool. But he basically had this song for like 10 years. And it didn't do much. It just kind of sat. He had this really cool video with it of jellyfish. And he showed it to me one day. And I was like, oh my God, can we please finish this and release it on my stuff? And he was like, absolutely, we can do that. Let's do it up. So I hopped on a bus to Hamilton. This was like in February. So pre-pandemic, wow. Isn't that a thing? Pre-pandemic, went to Hamilton.
What's pre-pandemic? I don't know.
I know. So we recorded, I think I rented a mic at Long McQuaid, an SM7B for all those wondering, which is the mic that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on, and it's like one of the cheapest mics out there.
Oh, wow.
A little fun fact. Yeah.
That's cool.
SM7B, you could drop it, you could throw it, it'll still be good. We recorded in Rick's attic and sat on it for a couple months. And in like May, I was like, ooh, we should just put this out. It feels very timely. Taking some time off from Letting You Down, I'm Staying Home Tonight. Felt like right now because we're all kind of chilling at home, working on ourselves. And that's kind of what the whole idea behind the song is. And then it's been since May. It's now November and it just came out and it's been a long process. I mean, the song was produced in May and then I decided to scrap the whole thing and reproduce it with Connor Young and Kyle T. And here we are. So many, many, many versions over, it is what it is today.
So it was originally, who was the man who originally had it? I know it's Brutus Begins.
His name's Rick. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I don't want to butcher it. But he's my writing partner. We do everything together. All the new stuff that's going to come out is all me and him. So very grateful for that man.
So it was originally his voice on the track.
Yeah, he had this beautiful, haunting version of this. It was so good, Gemma. It was the best. I was like, I really want to. He was like, you could probably try this track and redo it, and it could be really cool. So that's what we did.
That's so cool. I had no idea about that. I would really be curious to hear the original version, perhaps one day.
I'll send it to you.
Oh, my God. Perfect. VIP stuff right here.
I think he deleted it because he didn't want it to get mixed up with the new version, but it was so good.
That's crazy.
It's a very
like,
different song now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. That's crazy how kind of like meant to be it is because it is so fitting with the time. So it's almost like meant to sit for 10 years and then be yours.
Sweet. Yeah, it's weird how it all worked out and like how the lyric even changed after a couple months. Like how what it means now is it's weird. Yeah. He's awesome and that was so kind of him. He was like, you know what? Nothing really came of this since I put it out. Why don't you retry and let's try and get it in movies and stuff like that. He's very supportive and very kind and he just wants to win. And he's like, let's try again.
That's amazing. So,
it's nice to have someone like that to believe in me. That's for sure.
Of course. So in terms of recording it in his attic, is his attic like an attic studio or was it just kind of like set up for this?
He has like this little closet room that he kind of works out of. So it was kind of set up for recording. It wasn't like the attic in like in a movie.
Okay.
Like a scary, scary attic. Not like that.
That's exactly what I'm picturing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We'll leave it at that. It was a scary, dark, cold attic in Hamilton.
It adds something to the vibe, like seriously. But then when you kind of like redid it with Connor and Kyle, where was that?
So we kept the attic vocals. And then Connor just did it from his house. I don't know. I just sat at home and I got revisions sent to me.
I understand.
And obviously Kyle lives with me. So we would just go through notes together and listen to the song about a million times and add more stuff to it. Kyle's really good at like the bass stuff and the synth stuff. That's all him. And kind of, he's really good at figuring out the layout of a song and how it should go. I don't really know what that's called at the moment.
I think that sounds good. That sounds about right. Song layout.
There's song. A word for it, but I can't remember, but that's okay.
Do you have any tips for people who are recording at home that you learned from this experience?
I would say if you're recording at home, make a dead space for yourself, because if you don't, it'll sound like the room, and we don't like that in recordings. I was for a couple months now, recording with my mattress flipped up behind me and then a blanket in front of me, but I've just moved into the closet because it's much easier and better. So I've done all of my new recordings in the closet.
Yeah, that would be a real pain in the ass to like move your mattress every day.
To flip it every time. Yeah, it was it was horrible. It was good for what it was. It worked out, but then one day what happened was I sang into the back side of the microphone, so I sang into it backwards and couldn't figure out what was wrong, and I kept hearing the room and not me. Stupid rookie mistake. So then I was like, let's try the closet. And then turns out the closet was the best thing ever. Good. So one stupid mistake led to a great realization.
As most things tend to be. Okay. So I guess, is there anything else I should know, I guess, about our listeners should know about the writing and recording process? Or do you think we can move on to the album art and video?
We can move on.
Okay, let's perfect. On. So visually, where did you get this idea? It's a stunning video. I'm obsessed with it. It's literally like a movie.
Are you the 1001 plays? Is that you?
Like, I didn't want to tell you. Like, I didn't know if you were going to figure it out. Like,
dead. Honestly, I just wanted the video to be really simple. I worked with Zoe Akiko on it. I might have butchered her last name, but that's okay. She's cool. She's like, I feel like she's like 20 years old or younger, and she just got out of school, and she's someone that I think was really cool. She has a really good eye for things. She shot some behind the scenes of a photo shoot for me last year, and I really loved her work. So and she's hometown girl, Ottawa. So we got to work together on this video, and I said, let's just make it really cool. I don't want to lip sync to the song. I don't want it to be like a music video. I want it to just be art. And she was like, I know the perfect place. So we went to this trailer park. Her mom's friend is a hippie. All these hippies go to this backyard and hang out all summer. And she just had all of these cool trailers. And she had 27 cats. So we got to play with the cats. And we got to hang out. And it was the hottest day of the whole summer. We almost died. And this video was born. And I wanted it to be like, here I am trying to get over shit and I feel weird about it. And then by the end of the video, when it's raining, it's like, I'm all good. I'm taking my life back and here's the journey and here's where I'm now at.
That's so pretty. I love it. Oh, I'm going to go watch it now. first of all, the kitties, I have to say, in your most recent Instagram post, it literally looks like a Halloween prop. Like, that doesn't look real. It's so cute. Black
fuzzy. I know, it looks like I placed him there, but they were so cute. They just wanted so much love. So people abandon their cats there when they don't want them anymore.
Oh, I'm gonna go take one.
So that's why she has so many. I know, I wanted to also. They're so cute.
But the whole concept with the milk, like, you, to give listeners some context, like in the beginning of the video, she goes into the fridge, fills up a glass of milk, takes a sip, sits down, and then we kind of move on into other scenes. But then at the end of the video, you see her in that same spot and she dumps it out on the floor. I think there's some kind of meaning behind that, but I just haven't been able to figure it out.
I want to know what your interpretation is and what you think it is.
Like, I just haven't given it enough thought, to be honest. Like, I'm always just the kind of like, I don't know, like maybe getting over something.
Well, to me, it was like, here's my glass half, wow, I can't speak. Here's my glass half full, and here's my glass half empty. So it's like,
yeah,
this point in my life, like, here is all the things I've done. And at a point, some of those things got really freaking sour. Really sour. And I still have to hold on to those thoughts and memories and everything, as we all do. And some days I have good days, and some days I have bad days where I think about those memories and I'm like, frig. And in the video, you see me kind of sitting there chilling, staring at the glass that's poured. And it's like, here is everything that I've been through and every good thing and bad thing that's ever happened to me or for me. And by the end of the video, since I'm on this new journey of like, I'm good. I'm not going to be upset by anyone anymore. And I'm going to do my own thing. That's when I pour the glass out, because it's a new start and it's time to drink almond milk.
I love that. No, that's, oh my God, there's so much meaning behind that. I'm so glad I asked.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love it. So was this like something that you guys like had to storyboard, or was it kind of like spontaneous, other than the milk thing? Obviously that was
the milk thing Zoe had planned.
Okay.
For sure. That was something in the storyboard that I was like, okay, I really like this idea. And she didn't really say much about it. She just said, this is cute. Let's do something like this. We wanted it to be kind of hippie style, because that's just who I am. And we wanted to show me in my truest form of just like, here's who I am. I kind of sit around and I think about things deeply. And I mean, we all do that, especially right now. Like, what is everyone doing? We're just chilling at home thinking.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a whole story, but as we were editing it, it just all came together as this one big story of like, I've gone through some shit and now I'm over it, or not over it, but like I'm better. I'm good. Like, I don't have sleepless nights anymore where I think about things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it be relationship or whatever, like
progress,
nothing bothers me anymore. Yeah.
Aw, I love that. That's where we're at. So wardrobe wise, loved everything. So
thank you.
Hippie and chill.
Woo.
So, I know you did all that yourself, hair, makeup, everything, but for wardrobe, were these clothes you already owned, or like, did you go out and thrift them?
This was a total DIY of whatever you have is what you use. Cause I don't think at that point in the pandemic, things were open either. Right. So like most of what I wore were hand-me-downs or thrifted, I think that's pretty much it. Hand-me-downs are thrifted. Maybe I bought like the jeans I was wearing, but I don't even know. I'm not sure. I don't think anything crazy, but I definitely owned everything prior to that, because I was like, I'm not going to a mall right now. There's no way.
Yeah, no, I totally feel that. My two favorite things were the crochet top that you were wearing in like the beginning and end, and then I like that skirt that is like sort of like quilt-like.
That's so funny. That friggin' skirt. I bought that skirt in Ohio at a thrift store, and it was way too big for me. And then I gave it to – yeah, I gave it to – I was just like, I got to buy this skirt because it's so cool. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I was going to like cut it up and make bell bottoms or something cool with it. And then my friend had it for – years, like a couple years, maybe 2 or 3 years, and I called her up and I said, I need the skirt back. And when I got it back like a month before we shot, and I got it back and I tried it on. It fit perfect because we were past the mental breakdown and we're on anxiety medication now, so we gained some weight, so it's all good, and the skirt fit
fantastic. Isn't it just
so I was like,
lovely.
we're gonna Nothing use this
awesome. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
That's good.
And then in terms of the album art, there's obviously a ton of beautiful shots from the set that I have been lucky enough to see. Why did you choose that photo in particular?
I just thought it looked badass.
Yeah. That's a good answer. So, yeah, no, that's very true. It's definitely one of the more intense shots out of the collection. But I do want to get into the more technical part of things, which is distribution, which isn't really the most fun part at all. So this is the first song that you've distributed. I'd love to chat about that process with you and how much of a pain in the ass it is. It's not that bad, gosh, but it kind of is.
It was annoying for sure.
Yeah. But
we did it.
So like, can you explain to someone how this works? Like someone who would, I guess, have no idea.
Okay. Well, basically if you're releasing a song on your own, first of all, you got to get it mixed and mastered properly, please. That matters a lot.
Yeah.
And then when you're distributing, you can choose like CD Baby, or there's like a bunch of different distributors that you can use. We used DistroKid. It just made the most sense. I paid for a lifetime thing so that they would never delete the songs unless I delete them myself, if I ever stopped using DistroKid. That was pretty easy. DistroKid was very easy. Remember our call? It didn't take that long for that one.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Very straightforward. Pretty awesome. Very helpful. And then it's really good for you to get pre-saves on Spotify because it helps with playlisting. I didn't get any playlisting at the beginning, so I don't really know if that helped me at all, but it was still fun. So we did that.
It's a way to get people excited regardless of whether you get on a playlist or not. Great for marketing. Yeah.
So we did that a week before we put the song out, which was fun. I don't know, should we talk about the pitches and stuff? That's pretty much it for distributing. It wasn't that hard. I wanted to get my song on Vevo. That was pretty challenging. And the only reason it was challenging is it was hard to get people to write me back, like people who distribute for Vevo. So if you're planning on doing that, make sure you do that like a month in advance, because that was very, very, very stressful.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just kind of difficult to find information about it because Vevo seems to be a thing that is more popular amongst signed artists. You don't see a lot of indie artists doing it. However, because Michelle has a history in the entertainment industry and has been previously signed, she had a Vevo channel. However, we had to like get access to that and then find a way to upload. It's not like YouTube. You don't just log in and upload it. You have to.
But if you don't have, if you don't have an account already, they can make you an account. It's just every distributor is different. Like one was like $100, one was $50. Like it's all different. So
yeah,
you just gotta find the one that's best for you. But if I were you, I would contact every single one and submit to every single one and see who writes back, because we submitted to a couple and they didn't even write back. So
yeah, it sucks, but it ended up working out. Could you maybe speak to a few of the benefits to uploading to Vevo?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. Like there's the monetization thing, which is pretty cool. Vevo,
what's that? Helps
basically, after your channel or your video generates $100 in streams, I don't really know when that is at or how many streams you have to get, but after you earn $100, they start paying you, which is pretty cool. They keep like a 30% or something, but I mean, everybody has a cut everywhere, so it doesn't really matter. I've never seen money from Vevo before because everybody's cuts kind of cut into it. So I'm curious to see how that's going to go and what that's going to look like. I don't really know yet though.
TBD. The other thing is too, I guess it kind of just makes it look a little more professional. It's kind of like having like a blue check mark in a sense. So I recommend it.
It also reaches a bunch more people and targets people who already follow your page / targets same like music.
Yes.
I think. Who knows? I don't really know what I'm doing. We're just guessing here.
Yeah. Recommend, though. We recommend.
We blindly recommend.
Yeah, exactly. You can make some money.
We'll yeah, leave it at I that. Mean, it, you could make new fans, make some money.
Yes. So moving into the publicity aspect, this was something that I helped a little bit more with. However, like, would you love, do you want to take the lead on this part or would you like me to begin it?
Well, why don't you talk about how much of a superstar you are?
Oh, stop.
Because without Gemma says she's part of the team, but Gemma is the team.
That's so kind. Thank you.
You are the team. I tell Gemma how much I love her every single day.
It's true. Yeah. I feel
I missed a day, which is bad, but I
mean my life like gets like points better every time like she says that to me. Like,
hell yeah.
Quality of life improved. Anywho, so basically when you're dropping a song, especially an indie song, definitely good to get some coverage. And you know, to an indie artist who maybe has like 10 Spotify followers or zero, that might sound intimidating. However, it's not as bad as you think. It's just kind of about networking and making connections, which I understand also sounds intimidating. But basically, what you're going to want to do, here's what we did. We refreshed Michelle's press kit. If you don't know what a press kit is, it's basically just like a document that has like your bio, how many followers you have, any coverage you've had in the past, like linking to that and stuff, in short. So you want to have that to pitch yourself along with it. But basically, you want to basically pitch a bunch of media, have these files attached, have a private link to your song, and try and ask for coverage. It's a lot of work because... Oof, we probably pitched around like 50 outlets, I want to say.
I think 50 or 70, something like that.
So yeah, something crazy like that. It's a lot. So you want to pitch about that. And then you also need to like follow up. And a lot of the time that is going to get you results. But yeah, I think we ended up with about 15 articles, which is actually amazing. Really, really good. Yeah.
Woo! Team Gemma.
Yeah, I was like so shocked at that result. I wasn't expecting that.
I was expecting zero, so that was fun. But I will give a tip and say that if you're paying for publications to support your music, we currently are not. But if you do choose that route, please, 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 either pay half upfront or ask to pay after they publish.
Yeah, or you can ask to see the article before it goes live. A lot of journalists won't do that, but I don't know. We did like it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot for asking because you are paying for it, and a lot of the times you can be paying quite a bit of money for that. So definitely know your stuff and know how many people you're reaching as well, because you know, that price might not be worth it. But yeah, my tips for pitching publicity is always follow up, try to connect with them over social media as well. They're like, honestly, coming from me, and I just run like an indie blog here. It's not even like huge, but I get tons and tons of emails a day from music PR, and I don't open a lot of them just because it's so many. However, when I get some follow-ups though, sometimes that has me opening it up. But yeah, and then Michelle, you did a little bit more of the pitching when it came to playlists. Yeah?
Yeah, that was interesting. It seems like pitching to playlists before the song is out is pointless.
Really?
It seemed like people wanted the actual link before they decided. They didn't want, like, we pitched the YouTube video, but they wanted the Spotify link itself. So I don't think I will do that again. But I did find this website called dailyplaylist.com, and it's free, and you can put your song link in there and you can pitch to 25 playlists a week. So I've been doing that. It's cool. It'll show you playlists that are pending, playlists that have been approved, and playlists that have declined your song.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and when they decline your song, it's probably because you don't actually fit their playlist sound, so it's not a big deal. So far, I've gotten I think 2 or 3 playlists approved and 2 declines, which I'm very excited about.
That's fantastic. Yeah, people definitely take note of that. But one thing to note is if there's a program saying that you can pay to get on Spotify playlists, it is a scam. Don't do it. That's the only way you can do it is from within Spotify.
I don't think that's right that people are selling that. Unless it's for, I think what they're doing is saying you can get on Spotify playlists, but it's literally their playlist and they're just taking the money.
Yeah, it very well could be. I do see a lot of playlists on Spotify where like the cover looks like a Spotify playlist cover, if that makes sense. Like they use like the same text and stuff.
Yeah, they're so smarty pants.
Yeah, and I guess they get quite a bit of followers from that, but don't fall for it. Just, you know, network and try the program that Michelle recommended.
Yeah, it's great. There's also one called Fluence, but you have to pay per, like if someone listens to your song, they'll have a rate that they charge, and if they listen to like 2 seconds of it, it'll be like this amount, and if they listen to the whole 5 minute, I think my song's like 4 minutes and 47 seconds, so I think it was going to charge me like $26 if they listen to the whole thing, but there's some cool people on there, and if they listen, it could be cool. There's like big players on there in the music industry, not just for a playlist, but for sync for different things, and you can build a relationship. You could go, here's my shit, I'm gonna pay you to listen to it and tell me your honest feedback and see if we can work together. And my friend today just told me that he sent his song to a guy who does sync for a bunch of different brands, and he wrote him back and he said he loves the song and they're gonna have a meeting next week. So
I mean,
that $26 opened that door for him to have a meeting, so I don't think it's that bad.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I missed the concept of that. I thought it was
I do understand though that it's like it's, but I mean at the same time it's like a lot of people are not going to pay for someone to listen to their song, so that already slashes how many emails they're getting in half.
Yeah.
How many songs they have to listen to in half, because they're only listening to the people who are like, you know what, I really truly believe in my song, I'm going to pay for this person to listen to it.
That's really smart and helpful. I'm really glad you shared that with us.
So that's a different way of looking at it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're serious about it, definitely maybe consider putting your money there.
Yeah.
Are there any other tips you can offer to someone who's looking into releasing music independently?
I don't know. It was fun. Like, it was stressful, and there was days where I called Gemma and I was like, I am having the worst day. Don't expect your shit to blow up overnight. I really do think that indie releases, especially if you're working on them, the real work starts after the release, which is funny because getting a release is so much work, but after the release, it's like, okay, now you pitch to Spotify playlist. Now you try and get it for sync or whatever you want to do. So the real work starts now. Indie release is a lot of fun because you own everything, which is cool. And just share it and have fun. Why not? It's just music. Like, just put it out. Who cares? Who cares if 5 people hear it or 1 million people hear it? Just put music out to make music.
Exactly. Yeah. It depends on what your goal is.
If you're trying to put music out to be famous, quit music now.
Mm-hmm.
Quit. Because you're not making it for the right reason. And that's not cool. Because there's a lot of people doing music who love music and truly love it, and they're the people that are going to win, not the people who are doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, like go be a YouTuber or something instead.
The shade. The shade.
No. I actually love YouTube. So like I'm not shading YouTubers. I'm just saying, like, if you want your personality to shine, maybe go over there instead.
Hold on, let me take a swig from my champagne bottle.
I love it. What I will say, though, is on my end, this was a lot of work. It was overwhelming at times just because, like, it's not something I've had to do ever. But, like, I'm happy I did it because now the next time I do it, I know what I'm doing and it's going to be a lot easier. And it's just worth it. Like, when it comes out, it feels good. It's still, like, hella stressful. It can be, like, and what I will say is it's probably not going to go as planned. So
that's for sure.
Don't expect
you know,
it to.
Like we went into this blind, Gemma. Like, we didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything. You knew PR and I knew music, but none of us knew how to release a song. It's a whole, you think it's one thing and it's a whole other thing. And then on top of that, people mess around and then it's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Be prepared to stand your ground, believe in yourself, and don't give up. And you're going to get from it what you put into it, which is like a very generic saying, but it's just true. But don't give up.
I don't know. I'm happy. Like, it didn't blow up overnight, but I don't need it to. It's generating lots of streams every day, and I'm proud, and I'm happy people love it, and feel good about it, and it's different for me, and it was something fun that we got to do together, and I know we're going to do more, so.
Yeah, absolutely, and, like, what's crazy is, like, it actually got the most streams it ever has yesterday, and that's, like,
yeah, I don't know why.
5 days after or something, I don't know, but.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here with me today and Woo! Chatting about this whole process. I really enjoyed this interview, and I think people can learn stuff from it.
Sorry that I didn't know how to speak at times. God.
That happens to me a lot. It's okay. No problem.
I got sweaty and I didn't know what to do.
We love but a moist, nervous moment.
Oh, hopefully you can edit it and make me sound decent. God.
I'll do my best for sure. Where can people find you on the interweb?
Oh, Instagram's my favorite. It's Michelle Tracy Official. Twitter is Michelle Tracy, but it should really just be retitled to Miley's Stan account.
Agreed.
And then my website is michelletracy.com, and I just posted new merch, and it's pretty cool. And if you don't want to support Amazon and you want to support a small business for Christmas, I would really appreciate the love and the support.
Yes. Support Indy. Fantastic. Yeah. Go give her a follow.
I'll support you back.
Woo! Yes. Go stream Time Off from a Letdown. It's on everywhere you can listen to music, and be sure to watch the video because it just kind of adds a whole other layer of amazingness to it.
Oh yeah.
Thank you again for being here today, and thank you to everyone for listening. I'm looking forward to chatting with you guys next week. Have a great day.